Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
From Brooklyn to the world, it's Pauly Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world. Only Pauly Malignaggi is not here right now. So it's Peter Cards, Seth Nyman.
Yes.
From Brooklyn to the world.
Dude, you got to bring a little more energy than that.
Paulie's the energy guy. I'm the...
No, I think you only had half a beer. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that too.
Yeah, you know, let's a couple more beers. Like, hey, Pauly Malignaggi, Brooklyn to the world.
We're here. It's Wednesday. We're here! I'm so excited to be here!
Hi, Bobcat Goldthwait's our first guest today.
I can't believe it!
But we're here, folks, to catch you up and bring you up to speed.
Pauly may or may not call in, right?
We're waiting on Pauly to call
in. London.
There's a little bit of a time difference. It is 6 p.m. our time, Eastern time. So in London, is 11 p.m. He's working for Sky, as he loves to do, because there's big fights happening. Kell Brook is fighting, Frankie Gavin? Gavin? Yo Gavin. That's a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Kell Brook obviously is, in my opinion, the top welterweight right now.
Higher than Timothy Bradley?
Yeah, I think he would beat the ever-living life out of Timothy Bradley.
What about one-time Thurman?
That, I think, is the best matchup right now. I think that's the best matchup.
Amir, you think he'll take care of him?
I think he beats Amir.
Wow.
Pauly thinks that's like really like a pick-em fight. But to me, like I said, if Amir's going... I think it's a very close fight. But if Amir's going the length as far as calling out Miguel Cotto not to fight his own countrymen...
To go up to middleweight.
Yeah, almost middleweight, to call out Cotto to avoid fighting Kell, that kind of tells
you
something.
That's a big money fight, right?
It's more than it is to fight Cotto here. He makes a lot more in UK fighting
Well, you forgot a guy. The relatively unknown fighter.
I'll tell you what.
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd at this point is not taking on any of these young lions.
No, I don't think so either.
Tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about, and...
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
Well, he took Canelo on.
He did, and...
That was ballsy.
That was a few years ago. I don't think he wants to keep testing those waters, but that's just me.
Well, who's he going to fight then?
I don't know. He's got one more fight.
I didn't hear no bell. One more round.
And you know what? Like he said himself, excuse me, I'm feeling a little under the weather. But if Pacquiao had any decency as a human being, he might have got himself a rematch, even though it's not warranted. It was so one-sided.
Oh, God.
But
how would they sell that, man?
This time
I try very hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of morons out there, unfortunately. They probably would have paid.
This time different. Shoulder feel good. Me, take it to him. He did nothing.
My mom say pray for me, and she do the voodoo on my shoulder.
She give hex to Floyd.
Yeah.
Now my rotator cuff fix.
It's rotating properly.
Yeah.
Now it rotate good.
And who's he going to fight?
Well, according to his manager... I always forget the guy's name. He's a ugly dude with like his hair. Like his hair looks like it got done by Chicago.
The band?
No, the Windy City.
Does anybody know what time it is?
That manager, advisor, whatever you want to call him, says he feels that Pacquiao should retire.
I think he should too.
You
made $1 zillion.
Yeah, and so do I.
Who do you want to see him fight? And he hasn't knocked anybody out in 5 years.
As his advisor, should you be saying that without
Talking to him?
Talking to you fighter.
Yeah,
first.
It might be his choice, I would think, maybe.
Usually it's up to
I mean,
it's up
we're all dying for Marquez 5. Come on. I love that fight, man. When I scared my whole family. I screamed so loud when he got knocked out. I was so excited because I like Marquez.
I always loved Marquez.
I always felt like he got screwed in those fights, you know?
He did.
You know, I remember that first fight. He got knocked down three times in the first round and came back and fought to a draw, which means he kicked his ass the rest of the fight.
Mathematically, he whooped his ass the rest of the way.
Right, so he won the majority of the rounds. And then he had a couple split decisions, and he just, man, I jumped off the couch like somebody put a bottle rocket on my ass. I was like, wow!
It was like,
oh, my God.
One of those in your coolie.
That's got to be one of the best shots I've ever seen in boxing. I've seen a lot of shots, but that was like the perfect...
He smoked him like a joint.
I mean, he went into it. Like, the whole thing was like...
It was double force because Pacquiao came forward.
Yeah.
Now, again, I mean, we could talk about all this stuff all you want. This is what I mean when I say Pacquiao's not an intelligent fighter, and people will always say, oh, I'm a hater. You hear the it's either a 10-second tap or a 5-second tap.
Right.
In that round, Pacquiao was doing damage.
Yep.
Why would you go lean in and go all out like that? You know you won that round.
Not a smart fighter.
It's not. He's just not a smart fighter.
Yeah.
You walk into that bomb, and you ended up on every meme on Instagram.
Oh, that's great.
Pac-Quill. The picture's still going around. Like, he's not smart.
What, you know, based on everything that's gone on this show and with our awesome host, what about that fight? What about Manny and Paulie?
Oh, Paulie would love it.
I would love it. It'd be great for the show, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Great for him. Great for everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
I don't mind paying my mortgage off early.
That would be interesting, man.
Yeah, no, it definitely would. I mean...
Well, because then, you know, because Paulie's been very vocal about it, him.
Yeah, of course. And Paulie has his opinion, and he's not afraid to speak about it because he knows what he's watching. He's not just a fan. He's an analyst. He's the best commentator in boxing for a reason. He breaks it down, and, you know, when the fans always say, hey, you know, I might not have been the biggest Paulie fan as a fighter, but as a commentator, he's the best. Why? Because he's making you understand exactly what he's seeing, and he's translating it and articulating it for you at home, and you're basically understanding it from a fighter's perspective, which a lot of guys can't do.
Yep, and they do it, but then he does it better.
He does it better, right?
Yeah, I agree.
What he sees in Pacquiao is a lot of flaws, and
it'd be interesting to see if he could take advantage of that himself.
Right.
You know?
And with his foot speed and hand speed and his... IQ, I do think he's able to take care of a lot of Manny's flaws. Now, do you ultimately have to respect Manny's power? Of course, 100%. But again, like Manny Ramirez, that's Manny being Manny. Manny Pacquiao is Manny Pacquiao, and he's always going to be Manny Pacquiao.
It's funny, every fight they talk about like his different strategies. Like there is
no different strategy.
He always fights the same.
That's it. He's going to come forward. He's going to do what he knows how to do. He's going to try to set you up with that left hand. If he gets the full extension on it, he's going to hurt you if he hits you. But, you know, you saw what Floyd did to him. And Floyd, you know, he didn't look like the best Floyd we've ever seen.
Floyd does what he has to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we've seen him look a lot better. I mean.
Yes.
It's not like he was the most dominant Floyd.
He plays it safe.
Of course.
You know, and it might not be the most exciting fights to watch. I know Paulie likes to watch him because he's a master boxer, but...
I enjoy it myself.
Yes and no. Like, we knew how this fight was going to go, so to me, I was struggling to even stay awake for this fight.
Yeah.
Although the first half of the fight was kind of close.
Right. Then he takes it away.
Right. He does that, though, because his conditioning, I think, is far superior to anybody, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he seems to... He doesn't mind giving, like, you know, Zab Judah look like the best boxer in the world against Floyd for a couple of rounds or half the fight. But then he knew he didn't have the gas.
He beats you down.
He knew that Zab didn't
have
the gas.
It's funny. I was talking to Leonard Ellaby. We were training for the Ricky Hatton fight, and Floyd said, you know, tell Paulie he can use my gym, you know, whatever he wants. And That was really nice of Floyd. And his right-hand man is Leonard Ellerbe. And I was just, you know, shooting the shit with him. And he's a cool dude. And he said, you know what's funny about Floyd is when they get in there, they think that they got Floyd in the ring for 36 minutes. But the funny thing is when the bell rang, you stuck in a ring with the best fighter pound for pound for 36 minutes. How you gonna get out of the way when he whooping your ass for 36 minutes? And I was like, you know, I didn't think of it that way. It's true. Because like you said, it's conditioning. So once he figures you out, he starts kicking your ass. And now you're like, damn, I still got like 4 or 5 rounds to go. And he's
he don't panic.
No,
you don't quit the most like Shane Mosley, man. Once Shane had a moment in that fight where he rocked him and then he tried to follow up, and then he just like, he like, gave up. Man, he took like his soul away.
Absolutely,
he just sucked the life out
of
that. He did, man. It's just like,
and then Shane looks at the referee once in a while, yeah. And he's like, "Hey, why did he do that?" And yeah. Floyd goes, "Shut up and fight." Yeah. And he just hits him with a 1-2.
Oh my god!
Shut up and fight.
Unfortunately, that fight happened like five or so years too late, because that was definitely not your best Shane Mosley. You know, I feel like there's some. You know, you always want to do those dream matchups, like Who's the fighter that died that beat Shane Mosley a couple times? He ended up losing to the crazy guy from Nicaragua.
Vernon Forrest.
Yeah, Vernon Forrest. He was a nice boxer back in the day before he had injuries and whatever else happened to him.
Vernon Forrest was a smooth boxer. And that's one of those...
yeah, like Tommy Hearns type, where he's tall,
his
rangy.
Styles make fights. Yeah 100%. You know, Mayorga beat him. Mayorga was just wild. He was like the Maidana of
right.
that day, you know.
He caught him off. Yeah,
punched really hard.
He caught him off balance, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But then everyone else was like hip to him after that, and he lost a lot of fights after that.
Oh, yeah.
Mayorga.
He kept... His big thing was, I'm going to smoke a cigarette in the ring after I win. And
not good for your...
Yeah. Don King promised me if I beat this guy, he's going to get me a vet. All right. A vet's only like $60,000, buddy. You know, the guy you're fighting is making like $1 million. I hope you know that. But
yeah, like Oscar beat him and Vargas beat
Oscar
him.
Oscar beat the life out of him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he made a name for himself. He made some money. But then, you know, those guys, unfortunately, you come from Nicaragua, I think... You know, he was a nice guy when you think about it. You hear all the mean things he would say, but it was like
it's all
hype
to fight. Yeah, sure.
Like his first big check, he put electricity on the block where he grew up.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
His first big payday, that's what he did. He went back to Nicaragua and he put electricity on the whole block where he grew up. They never had it before.
Question is it still on?
Probably not.
Ooh.
I don't know, but...
Ouch.
He went to like... MMA and stuff like that. Because
did he?
Yeah, he tried.
That's a tough thing for a boxer. I mean, for a amateur wrestler, it's an easier transition. For boxers, man, once to get taken down to the ground, you're done. Unless you really pick up your game. Like Floyd would have to train. Floyd was too old now, but I'm saying he would have to train. You know, like I don't think he could beat Ronda Rousey right now. I don't. Honestly.
What did you just say? I almost choked.
I don't think Floyd could beat Ronda Rousey in a UFC fight.
In a UFC fight?
In a UFC fight. Yeah, in a cage. In a boxing, obviously, yeah, he'd whip her ass.
You know she's a woman, right?
I do.
How much does she weigh?
135.
135.
Yeah. I think she takes him down. Put that arm bar in, dude. It's over.
You're crazy. That's insane.
She could take him down.
Stop recording. Rewind and don't say that anymore.
Oh, no, I'm saying it.
Come on.
I'm not afraid to say it. I think she could take him in a UFC fight, not a boxing match.
What if he just hits her with a hook right in the face? The fight's over.
True. Listen, I didn't say he's 100%. I'm saying I think she could beat him.
No, she's not that strong. He's a man. You know how strong he is physically? People think when you watch him that they don't think he's strong.
I think he is strong.
He dances. He's
boxers
physically
are one-dimensional,
strong.
Though, to fight an MMA fighter. And she's I know she's a woman, but she's an exceptional fighter.
Oh, she is, 100%. She's
a judo expert. I mean, submission expert.
100%. But you know what the biggest knock on it is? And it always frustrates me because... When the transition is always made, it's always made on the boxing end. You get, the old punch drunk James Toney. James Toney is one of my favorite fighters of all time. He's one of the best and
ever always entertaining. Yeah,
just his style of staying in the pocket and
went
always
from 60 to heavyweight, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he beat Holyfield when Holyfield was still beating people at heavyweight, you know? So yeah. One of those guys always stood in the pocket, always real sharp, make you miss by a millisecond.
He had old school, right? He had like a Jersey Joe Walcott kind of.
Right in the shell, man. Yeah. Didn't run from anybody, you know? Had wars with Mike McCallum and all, you know, Nunn, Michael Nunn, and
Roy Jones shut him out,
you know?
Yeah, jeez.
You know, he was a beast.
That's now, when you're like, oh, man, Roy Jones, he dominated boxing for, like, how many, 10-plus years?
Please. Y'all must have forgot.
Well, I didn't forget.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. Well, now, because he probably forgot, too. He got knocked out so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, what happens is now James Toney gets, he starts falling out of the limelight, and he starts saying, man, you know, is my time over, right? So he thinks, oh, this MMA, I could do this. They send him, and they put him against Randy Couture. Really?
That's ridiculous.
Come on.
That's like feeding cub to a lion.
Right. Yeah. So he goes in. Randy Couture just shoots at him. We have a call?
Is this our
first call?
Our caller. Let's go.
Who is it?
Hello? You're on the air.
Yo.
Whoa.
Who's that?
Champ?
London to the... What's going on?
London to the world?
You're cutting out a little bit.
No, London, Manhattan, Brooklyn. we're better.
He's cutting out. He's cutting out.
Can we turn it up?
I'm cutting out.
He's cutting out.
I hear you. I hear you, though.
You hear me?
Champ, I thought we lost you.
Yeah, no. We ran it.
I don't know what's happening.
Are you guys good?
You're cutting out like every 3 seconds. You're cutting out.
Yeah, that's not... I don't know. I'm off. You know what I mean?
That's weird.
You guys getting me now?
So he's getting me now?
Yeah, we get you every 3 words. We're getting you.
Yeah, no. I don't know if that's going to work, guys.
It's better.
Wait, you're here now.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
No.
You can't hear us?
I can hear you fine, actually. I don't know if you guys hear.
It keeps like, are you on the landline or are you on like a cell phone?
I'm on the hotel phone that I...
Man. You want to try us back real quick?
I can try you.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, it keeps cutting out.
Call us back. We're excited.
I was excited, man. I was like, Paulie called in. It's great. And then
it sounded low, too, right?
It's not low. No, that's your headphones. I can turn you up.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you also have one phone on. You got half a headphone on.
Yeah, no, I hear him in the left, but it's low.
Well, you got to hear him in
that's
the right.
That's my style, man. That's my studio swag. Don't
we should keep all this in the show, right?
Don't. Yeah, sure.
From London to the...
Yeah, from London. Well, we're now from London to Brooklyn to Manhattan to the world.
Let's take a quick break.
All right, yeah, let's take a break. We'll try to get that situated.
Introducing Paulie
Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi!
This is Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
While we're on DraftKings, let's talk about it a little bit. You know, everybody can hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code PAULIEM, PAULIEM, to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code PAULIEM, PAULIEM, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
Yeah, if you know your baseball, I mean, you can make some money on there for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And hopefully they'll add combat sports later on. But if you're a big baseball fan, obviously the baseball season lasts a long time. You got plenty of time to win plenty of prizes. And they have a lot of money to be given away.
So your promo code gets them money.
Yeah. So
right?
20% off.
It's a nice bonus.
And guys, if you put promo code PETERCARDS, you inherit all my debt.
So whatever you do, don't put Peter Cards. Put PAULIEM as your promo code. PAULIEM. Got me, guys. Don't mess it up, because if you do not want to inherit Pete's account, trust me.
You're drug testing if you put his name.
You go in and you get
the creepy Everybody Loves Raymond guy showing up at your house.
No, you just put at Peter Cards and the bookie shows up and then immediately comes with a pipe.
You pay today.
So,
the VIG is 300 a week.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Pauly Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Brooklyn to the world.
We're back.
We're back. Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Card, Seth Nyman, London to Brooklyn to Manhattan. We're better than Pitbull. We're more than Mr. World, Mr. Worldwide.
Global.
Mr. Europe, Mr. North America, Mr. Transatlantic. What's up?
Oh, dude, we were on a roll.
We're on a roll. We sure are. What's going on over there? You guys miss me?
Absolutely.
How's it going over
there?
We
lost you, champ.
We ran into a couple of hiccups. But we're always in demand. We always got to make shit happen. You know what I mean? That's how we are over here.
I was like Ricky Schroeder. Champ.
You know how it feels nice to hear the New York accent. I got to tell you, I'm getting used to the British accents over here. Not that I mind them, but you know.
You've been working on yours.
Home, never heard anybody either. You know what I mean?
You've been working on that accent yourself.
You know what? Sometimes I try it out. I might come back with a better accent than I had a couple weeks ago. When I come back from this trip, we're gonna try the accent again.
Well, listen, I think the fans and
the fans said I didn't have a good one. But
thank you.
I think if I spend enough time here, I think I'll pick up on it just a little bit better.
Still,
I feel like I could do it right now, but you know, I'm not confident enough in it yet. But by the end of the week, I will be.
Keep practicing, buddy.
Yeah. By the end of the, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to somebody over here, I feel like I'm listening to them, and I'm like, man, I could talk like them. I can pick up on this right now. Like sometimes I feel like answering them in their own accent, you know, and just bugging them out, you know. But then I'm just not confident enough. I get shy.
They say, do you reckon, Paulie, that Saturday will be a good card? You want to go? I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Sometimes when we're on TV, especially, I want to just blow them away, but I can't do it. I'm not that confident yet. Maybe by the end of the week. Maybe when we're broadcasting live on Sky Sports on Saturday.
Yeah,
I'll break out a British accent.
So basically, we were telling everybody that you weren't in the studio. We were hoping you would call in, which you did, and that's great because you're busy doing what you love with Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a big card over there.
Yeah, there sure is, pal. That's right.
I don't know if anybody went over there and told you.
This card's huge over here.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be available in the U.S. or no?
What's going on with that?
I spoke to Eddie Hearn today, and he's still telling me, you know what, he's going to get it. He just hasn't cut a deal yet. I mean, I don't like the whole last minute deal, because then I don't know if people find out it's on U.S. TV. But he said he's got a few different offers, and he's trying to figure out the best offer to basically take and get paid for it, you know?
It's a couple days away.
He was trying with HBO. He was trying with AWE. He said AWE doesn't pay him what he liked, though, you know, so he'd rather, you know, give it to somebody else. But he said he's definitely going to get US TV by the end of the week. I'm like, Eddie, you got to let me know. You know, I got a lot of people demanding it. And he's like, he's getting a lot of calls about it, too. So I'm pretty confident in the fact that the card will be on US TV. Now, will it be on US TV with our broadcast team, or will it be on US TV with an American broadcast team? That's another question, you know. So we'll find out. We'll figure it out, you know, because if they make the deal at the last minute, I assume they're just going to take our feed right directly from Sky, which would be pretty cool then, because then you guys in the US could hear me as well, you know. So,
absolutely.
You know, we'll figure it out. I mean, I'm sure it'll get figured out soon. Maybe he'll have an answer as soon as tomorrow, you know. I was speaking to him today. Today we had the undercard press conference. I tell you, this guy Kevin Johnson's a character, man. He's fighting Anthony Joshua, and you know I always knew Johnson's a character, but man, he was talking some good shit today.
Really?
It was like comical. It was funny, you know. And you know, I mean, Joshua's a mature kid, so he wasn't taking the bait or anything, but it was funny, man. It's a shame this guy Johnson didn't get marketed better, you know.
I don't know him. Who's?
Well, that's because he's been with some shoemakers, signed with most of his career. He fought Vitaly Klitschko. He's never been knocked out. Fought Vitaly Klitschko.
Oh, heavyweight.
He fought a couple of ranked heavyweights,
yeah,
actually.
Anthony,
you know, he beat Anthony. He beat the guy Lapai. He went to New Zealand and beat Lapai. You know, or Leopai, whatever his name is. I mean, Johnson's pretty good. I don't know if he beats Joshua, but he's a pretty good fighter. He's a pretty good contender.
And Anthony Joshua was an Olympian.
Anthony Joshua was not only an Olympian. Anthony Joshua was an Olympic gold medalist.
Gold medalist.
Got to get you caught up on the
from the UK.
on the British landscape here, Phil. You know.
Yep.
PE podcast, not caught up on the British landscape, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Brits, if the British fans over here are going to appreciate that kid.
They ain't ready for him yet.
They didn't. I didn't. Nobody came over here and told me. But
yeah, well, nobody went over there and told you. But they got to tell you. You got to get yourself caught up, kid.
Speaking of which, well, first of all, I want to say, Kell Brook, there shouldn't be any arguments anymore. The guy holds one of the major world titles in the hottest weight class in the world. He should be on. He should be on PBC. He should be on.
Well, PBC is an Al Heyman thing, so you got to be signed.
Well,
to,
still,
to Heyman, you got to fight a Heyman fighter in order to be on PBC.
Yeah, well, you know, we want to make good fights and we want to put good fights together. He should be on either PBC or Showtime, or you know, he's got to get into that mix, and I'm sure he'll fight an Al Heyman fighter soon. So I don't doubt that in the future we'll see him on, you know, over here. What we did see this Saturday was a coming out party. I thought they called him the Junkie, but when we first watched it, but his name was the Chunky.
Chunky. You thought it was Junkie the Junkie?
No, they said.
Come on, dude.
When I first heard it on the air, because his name is James DeGale, it was like, did they just call him a Junkie? I'm like, what did he have, like a stint in rehab or something?
No, he's Chunky. He was a chubby kid.
Yeah, I hear you.
His name is Chunky.
All
right. Wow. Peter Cards, the interpretations of Peter Cards, ladies and gentlemen. PD Podcast is only one.
Well, that's one guy. That's one guy that we said last week it was going to be his coming out party, and boy, was it.
Yeah, well, you know, in theory, if anybody did gamble, we did give that pick away.
Yep.
You know, we did give out one of our locks.
In theory, we'd be having a really good week.
Yeah. So in theory, you know, we gave away one of our patented locks, and it was a hit. It was a hit, actually, in a close fight, competitive fight. It was a hit, and it was a good hit. So hopefully some of you guys take our advice. You know, we don't always give out all the winners. Sometimes, especially PD Podcast, can be a bit of a mush.
Thank you.
But, you know, we do our best. We
hey,
do
Paulie,
our best
would,
to keep you. Go ahead.
Would you say the early knockdowns made a difference in the fight?
Absolutely.
Would I say I think so. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. There's two things I think that made some pretty good differences. It was the early knockdowns and also the way DeGale finished the fight. You know,
right.
In a fight that was decided by probably a couple points, was decided by a couple points on two scorecards.
Well, one judge
Stevie Wonder, you know what it is about boxing? Sometimes boxing tries too hard to do, like, charity work, you know? And they let Stevie Wonder do a you know, like a celebrity appearance as a judge. They made, you know, and I'm cool about, you know, giving handicapped people an opportunity on different fronts, you know, especially somebody with a big name like Stevie Wonder. But Stevie Wonder shouldn't be judging boxing. And, you know, he was one of the three judges on Saturday afternoon, you know.
He shouldn't be doing boxing.
He should be singing "I Just Called to Say I Love You."
Right.
Shouldn't, and that's it. He shouldn't be anywhere near a judging of a boxing match.
That was Lionel Richie, but
yeah. No. That was Stevie Wonder.
Oh, that was
Called to Say I Love You. Stevie Wonder, buddy.
Sure was, pal.
Yeah.
Right. He shouldn't be judging boxing, and he shouldn't be doing a celebrity lap in a racetrack.
No. Not at all. But the other two judges that had it won, was they 114-112. Basically, you can say the knockdown was a big difference, and the way DeGale finished the fight, he closed the show stronger, you know?
Right, that's as close as you're going to get.
Points. Yeah, in the end, there was a couple points that made the difference, and those couple points, you know, in reality, actually for me personally, Andre Duro was winning round two. So he went from winning at 10-9 to losing at 10-7.
Absolutely.
What is that, like a 4-point swing? I mean, that's huge. That's huge. You know, that probably made the entire fight. That more so than even the closing of the fight, the better finish. Probably the 4-point swing around two was a huge, huge momentum builder for DeGale, and it set a tone. And a great fight between two really world class competitors. I loved that fight from the moment it was signed. I just thought it was unfortunate that not enough people knew who these guys were, because I knew it was going to be a great fight. It lived up to the hype that I gave it, and a really good fight. And DeGale just showed just a little bit more character. I got to give Durrell credit for it. I wasn't sure about his character.
Oh, I was just,
you know, he got up from two knockdowns and really fought his ass off and fought a very focused fight the rest of the night. Just couldn't bite down enough late in the fight. But really, I got to give Andre Durrell credit. He had shown more character than he had shown in the past. And that's something that means that he's coming along as a fighter, as a world-class fighter. That he's always been a world-class talent, but the character he showed on Saturday, even in defeat, showed that he's coming along as a world-class fighter, as well as the talent that he's always been, you know. And DeGale just proved to the world, you know, it was his coming out party, like we said. You know, for DeGale was a guy that I had seen last year on the Wembley Stadium card I worked the Carl Froch versus George Groves rematch, and on the undercard, DeGale absolutely blitzed Brandon Gonzalez, who's a pretty good fighter, just absolutely massacred him, you know, and I thought, man, this guy is good, you know, because I had seen Gonzalez, and Gonzalez has always been a pretty good fighter, and the Gale just mowed him right down. And I said, man, this guy's good, you know. So I was looking forward to seeing the Gale again. When they made the Gale versus Durrell, I was excited about the fight from both fronts, because I knew it was both guys that were real, real fighters, real, real talents, and real legit guys. And then Amateur Pedigree proved that. You know, you got Durrell, who's a former bronze medalist, who had lost to Gennady Golovkin in the Olympics, as we talked about last week. And the Gale was a gold medalist, who became the first Olympic gold medalist from England to win a world championship.
All right, let's not go crazy. Lennox Lewis chose to fight for Canada, so let's not go crazy.
Exactly. he fought for Canada, which means he didn't win it for England.
Right.
Which is the whole point of the whole fact that I just made.
Let me just first.
the fact is, James the Gale, again, won the first Olympic, became the first fighter.
All right, mate, come off it.
Then he won a world championship.
No, it's amazing.
Lennox Lewis representing Canada in the Olympics. Represented England, James Gale would have been the second one.
I also want to give a lot of credit to Durrell for showing balls and when he needed to, because I was on the same page as you, where I said, you know what, this guy, when the going gets tough, he's going to start making excuses, this and that. But I got to throw in my little jokes that I do. Buddy, don't start talking shit until you have the fight somewhat secured. The end of the first round, this guy's walking to Gale back to his corner, and then the second round, he's getting mopped up. I mean, if I was to Gale, that's why I would have walked him back to the corner. Like, I want to tell these guys sometimes, come on, give it a little back, you know? Like, you know what I mean? And then when Durrell started to, like, he kind of, like, wanted to act like he was back before he was really back, and every time he started to talk trash again, to Gale hit him again.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times, and all the young kids, you want to be a fighter, you want to come up in this sport, the one thing Paulie always said, it always stuck out to me, go back to the basics. Mm-hmm. Notice when Durrell started to do well and started to make DeGale a little frustrated and really offset his game was back to the jab. And really, really simplify everything. You don't have to throw right uppercuts and left uppercuts from your, you know, from your back foot and be wild with your hands down. That's not going to work at the top level.
Yeah, sometimes the kiss makes all the sense. Keep it simple, stupid. You know,
right.
and sometimes that mentality really gets you through. You may have a very varied arsenal, but it's those basic fundamentals that sometimes are all you need, and you're overthinking it. You know, sometimes you're overthinking it, and you're using, you know, you want to use all these fancy combinations and fancy punches and fancy just fancy moves in general, and sometimes those can actually get you in trouble. You know, sometimes just the basic stuff. You don't even realize that if you keep it basic, you keep it simple, you know, you can put rounds in the bank that way. And some of those rounds, the Durrell one, I thought in the middle, was basically because he applied the kiss mentality, which is just keeping it simple. And
and
DeGale couldn't close distance on him, you know. And great fight. I mean, I thought it was a great fight.
Awesome.
You know, we had high drama, had two world-class fighters, lots of talent, lots of skill, momentum changes, adjustments made, knockdowns, and the ending to the fight where you just didn't know who won the fight, you know, when the bell rang. So I think it lived up to all the hype, all the expectation. For me, maybe it's a type of fight that's not going to win fight of the year because it's not rock'em sock'em type of fight. But for me personally, as a boxer,
on the competitive level,
it's the type of fight that I can appreciate most because it showed everything.
Right.
It showed all the wrinkles. You had your exchanges in your spots. You had your high skill moments in spots. You had high drama. You had a very close fight, and you had two very, very skilled fighters, and the fight showed all of that in the 12 round.
This should be a rematch, huh?
I told you.
What do you guys think?
Did I tell you? There should be a rematch. Didn't I tell you, champ? I watched it with Junior. We have a young kid. I have a young kid that I work his corner also. His name is Junior Yunan. He had sparred with Durrell, and he said that's the most he's ever learned. I mean, he had sparred with Paulie, too, many times. Paulie's like a...
Yeah, but he was like 14.
Yeah, he was a baby.
The kid is big now.
Yeah, now he's 168 pounds, and Paulie's like a mentor to him, like an older brother. He came to my house to watch the fight. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, knowing Durrell, and Durrell, one thing about Durrell, he's very down to earth. He still keeps in touch with Junior. We call him Sugar Boy around the house. That's his nickname. And yeah, so he's 6-0, 5 knockouts. He's fighting June 6th at Barclays.
Well, wait.
168.
Oh, nice.
Same weight. So he's like, come on, Darrell, come on, Darrell. I said, listen, Darrell athletically is a beast. I said, I check his heart a little bit. I said, I question it a little bit. He goes, nah, I'm telling you, he's a beast, Pete, I'm telling you. I said, no, I don't question that at all. I said, but now you're fighting somebody. This is his coming out party. He's not leaving anything at home. First round, you see Darrell doing all this, and he's throwing these uppercuts, and he's leaving his hand down. I said, you know, at this level, you can't make these mistakes. I could see him getting cracked over the top. I swear, I'm not Nostradamus or anything, but the next round, dude, boom! And Sugar Boy was like, oh, my God. I said, see what I mean? That's why you don't make these mistakes at this level. It's you can get away
shit,
with it.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's just, you know, you it's careless. It really is. You have athletic ability, but it only at the top level, these guys are going to make you pay for it.
Yeah.
Your fundamentals always have to be sound at the top level, at the best level.
And the more talented you are, the more you can get away with mistakes. But, again, it all depends on how talented your opponent is. And DeGale is no slouch himself. You know?
Talking about a gold medalist.
He made the adjustment. I mean, at first he was coming up short with that overhand left. He, he kept trying the jab, overhand left. Jab to the stomach, overhand left. Basically what we call a rooftop.
Rooftop.
And he just wasn't stepping in enough, and he kept coming up short with it. And he made the adjustment late in the second round where he took a bigger first step to close the gap. That way, in taking a bigger first step to close the gap, when Darrell pulled, he wasn't going to be far enough away to get away from the overhand left. And it worked to a T. So kudos to DeGale for making that adjustment. I mean, Darrell adjusted back to him as the fight went on, and,
right.
and DeGale landed that overhand left sparingly for the rest of the night. And, you know, he kept trying it, but he didn't land it the same way anymore. But kudos to DeGale for making that adjustment so soon. He was coming up short early on. He even got countered with his own, with Darrell's own left uppercut because he missed so wide on one of the overhand left in round one. But he stepped in, took a bigger first step, and in taking a bigger first step, Darrell can't get out of range when he pulls back. And not being able to get out of range, the overhand left reached him. And hurt him. It hurt him bad, you know. The one thing Darrell was lucky with is that there was almost no time left in round two, so he got dropped twice, and he got to go back to the corner to, you know, recover and get attended to. And that's where we got to also see, you know, more of a great fight because, you know, it would have been a shame if that fight would have ended so soon.
Right.
Because instead, Darrell recovered and showed a tremendous amount of character for me to not only recover, but also to keep trying to go back out there and win. Because it's one thing to recover and then try to survive. Yeah, it's still a certain amount of character to hang in there and stay in the fight. But it's an even bigger character shown to me when you recover, go back out there, and actually get back to your thinking fundamentals and actually are able to try to keep, not only know how to keep winning the rounds, but actually go for it and do it. Because going for it and doing it against a good fighter can get you hurt again. And kudos to Darrell for staying intelligent in there. And again, the fight was a great fight for me. I loved it. I hope everybody agrees with it because to me that's boxing at a world class level on all fronts, and it showed all the different dimensions that world class boxing can show and why it's such a great sport, you know. So you know, those are my thoughts on the Darrell versus DeGale fight, and it's something that we keep hoping we get on PBC. We've had some good fights. Obviously, not all the fights have been great, but that's boxing in general. Not all the fights are going to be great.
Most of them have, though.
But a lot of them have lived up to the hype, you know, and been good, close, competitive fights. And that's all you can really ask for when watching boxing at a world-class level and watching boxing where you're trying to gain new fans through these network television fights. So a good card, a good fight for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Both guys, I mean, it takes a little while. It was impressive for me to see James make that adjustment, like you said, closing the distance and taking that bigger step, having done that in the second round. Usually it takes a few rounds to get that down. He did that right away, and then I give more credit to Darrell for he made a few adjustments in there to tweak, you know, the problems and getting hit and having to go back to the basics. I give him a lot of credit for that. I mean, at the end
but
of the second...
But even DeGale, you know, as Darrell started winning rounds, keeping it basic, DeGale had to push the issue.
Right.
DeGale had to work harder because he's very talented, but he's not as talented as Darrell. So he had to go work harder. He had to go push the issue, and he did. So kudos to DeGale, too, late in the fight for, you know, realizing that, you know what, man, I got to win this world championship tonight. I got nothing to stay before. And really coming out with a purpose in it, with a certain amount of intensity in rounds 11 and 12. They're called the championship rounds for a reason, and DeGale fought like a champion in those
Absolutely.
In those two rounds. You know?
And Darrell, at the end of the second round, I mean, he looked like he was standing in the middle of the ring. He didn't know where his corner was. It looked like he still thought he hadn't been announced yet.
You know? Yeah. He was waiting for the introduction into the fight.
from Michigan.
Oh, man.
Listen, let's take a break, and then we'll get back to some more stuff.
FIFA and Rangers.
Seth wants to talk about FIFA and corruption.
Damn Skimpy, you got to talk about FIFA.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back.
We'll take a break.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Pauly Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Introducing Pauly.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi.
This is Pauly Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
All right, so we're back. Champ.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
You hear us? Can you hear
me
now?
We sure do. And we got FIFA to talk about.
Yeah, so you know a lot more about this shit than I do.
A lot of arrests made at the FIFA international meetings in the last 24 to 48 hours. You know, the meetings were in Switzerland. I think they were in Zurich or something.
What, do they have a sit-down? What, are they like the FIFA mob?
Yeah, I mean, basically they have like a yearly meeting and everybody attends from the, you know, from all the families across the world, so to speak, and the FIFA federations, and you know, they discuss the betterment of the sport and whatnot, supposedly.
Is that like Michel Platini?
Platini, I'm sure, was there. He didn't get arrested, though. Sepp Blatter was there, who's under scrutiny for a lot of corruption, but he actually didn't get arrested either. But a lot of the other heads of certain parts of FIFA were big names were arrested. I think they made 9 arrests. Were Interpol and like FBI, whatnot, and Swiss police went in there and arrested them, and they're going to extradite them to the United States, where they can stand trial by the FBI. And stand trial with the federal government here in the United States, because they're federal international criminals, and the U.S. they can be tried as criminals even in the United States because they've done something even as small as using a U.S. bank to funnel their money. So in that case, they've involved the United States as well, so the U.S. is allowed to prosecute them. Yeah.
CNN says FIFA corruption marks World Cup of fraud.
Yeah, and it's a shame. It really is, because this is my favorite sport in the world, and you can kind of tell there's corruption at certain points. You know, I mean, you can kind of tell that it's political, but like a lot of other sports, you know, a lot of things just don't get done. I mean, for me, the 2002 World Cup was the most corrupt sporting event I've ever witnessed in my life.
Right.
Any sport, I've never witnessed a more corrupt sporting event than the 2002 World Cup. I saw so many terrible calls in that World Cup, like blatantly. That I said, there's no way a referee or linesman can be this stupid. It's got to be corrupt. And so many of those games. I mean, all you got to do is look at the semifinal matchups. South Korea and Turkey were in the semifinals, guys. I mean, come on. They don't even get out of the group stage in every other World Cup.
Francesco Totti.
The only reason South Korea qualifies is because nobody knows how to play soccer in Asia. Big apologies to my Asian friends, but, you know, you don't have very many good soccer teams in Asia, you know? But, you know, South Korea made the semis. Turkey was in the semis. I don't even think Turkey's qualified for a World Cup since, to tell you the truth. I don't know that Turkey qualified for World Cup before. either, you know? So, I mean, just so many of the top teams were being eliminated. I mean, I thought it was becoming blatantly obvious.
Isn't that the World Cup where Francesco Totti got the red card then the ref called it from the
other
side
of the field? Yeah, from midfield, the referee called, that was the South Korea game in the second round. From midfield, the referee called a simulation on Totti. That Totti's in the penalty box. So from 50 yards away, he decided he could see if Totti was simulating a foul or not.
Right.
And the replay showed that there was actually some contact, but, you know, maybe you don't want to call a penalty kick, it's fine, but there was some contact. You can't call a red card, a direct red, no less. Who gives a direct red for a simulation foul?
Right.
You kidding me? That was just one. I mean, that was, for me, that was extra pissed me off, because obviously me and Peter Cards root for Italy, we have the Italian ties, and then we're soccer fans because of our Italian roots, football fans, as you guys call it in the U.K., but that was just one of the things. I mean, I saw a lot of teams get screwed. I saw Spain get screwed. Portugal get screwed. I mean, Argentina was eliminated in the first round. They were like one of the main teams that won, the main favorites. I mean, it was a joke of a World Cup, and I thought it was pretty obvious that they were trying to make a South Korea versus Brazil final, because Brazil is always the darlings of FIFA and darlings of world soccer fans in general, and they always get the benefit of the calls. And I don't care how many Brazil fans are listening It's the way it is, guys. You guys get all the calls. All the ridiculous calls always favor Brazil. Brazil never gets a negative call. They always get the benefit of any other call. So, I mean, you know what? Whatever. They play beautiful soccer. It's always fun to watch Brazil anyway. I'll give you credit for that. But things should be refereed and judged correctly and fairly.
You guys know Chuck Blazer?
Who?
Chuck Blazer is a high-ranking FIFA official. He's the one who, like, turned informant. He was he's a rat. Yeah,
he's always a snitch.
Yeah, he was living in the Trump Tower in an $18,000-per-month place, and he also had an adjoining $6,000-a-month place for business.
Nice. Very nice.
That wasn't good enough for him when he got caught. He said, you know what?
Oh, he's dying. Yeah, he's suffering from colon cancer. Now he's like,
taking everybody down with me.
And you know what? The 2002 World Cup, I don't even think is going to be investigated. I mean, this is just something that I personally witnessed, and there was just so much corruption. I thought it was pretty obvious they were trying to make the South Korea versus Brazil final. Brazil, the darlings, against South Korea, the hosts. You know, which would have been a joke of a final. Luckily, Germany managed to beat South Korea in the semi and make the final at least a decent final.
Let's talk about this lowlife for a second. What's his name? Chuck Blazer. Blazer.
Misappropriated at least $15 million in compensation payments. Unauthorized payments of over $11 million in commissions, $3.5 million in fees, and more than $837,000 in rent.
And that's just him. That's just him.
Right.
Imagine
that's
all the guys
him.
No,
but wait.
Out,
no, but wait. Let's analyze this guy for a second.
Check him out, too. He looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah. This fat tub of shit lives a lifestyle of a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's corrupt.
While ruining the best sport in the world.
Wait. But he's corrupt as corrupt can be.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as he gets colon cancer, instead of just dying with his mouth shut and his ass shut, apparently, because he's got colon cancer, he decides to spew his guts and rat on everybody.
450 pounds, he is. 450
pounds.
Wow.
That's a lot of information. In that fat, low-life body of his. These people amaze me.
Yeah, but you got to see the people he ratted out, what they were doing, too. I mean, it was crazy.
The greed is out of control, man.
Yeah,
the greed is out of control, and they're just taking payments. There was one of the investigations is for how the bid was won to host the 2010 World Cup. So
that's always corrupt.
They're going to investigate. Yeah, I'm sure.
What's the thing we watched about Qatar?
You can clearly tell with Qatar 2022.
Yeah, remember that?
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that there's something fishy going on with Qatar getting that bid. But they were saying that they're going to investigate even the 2010 World Cup, that the bid, how South Korea won it, South Africa won it, was pretty corrupt or whatnot. So that's going to be one of the investigations that they're looking into. I'm sure the 2002 World Cup will never be proven that it was corrupt, but anybody that watched it, I'm sure, can agree with me that it was a joke of a World Cup. I, for one, cannot stop watching every single game in a World Cup, and that is the only time. I've been watching every World Cup since 1990. I stopped watching that World Cup after the quarterfinals when I watched South Korea eliminate Spain and the way that game happened.
Right.
But the way that game was refereed, it was another joke of the many jokes of games that I saw ruined by officiating in that World Cup, and I actually stopped watching. I didn't watch another game after I watched South Korea eliminate Spain in the 2002 World Cup quarterfinals. I missed the semis and I missed the finals, and that is almost impossible for me. I've never even come close to doing that in any other World Cup, including the World Cups where Italy got eliminated early, you know, in 2010 and 2014.
Right,
I continued to watch the entire World Cup. I loved the World Cup, and it was just I wouldn't even think about missing a game. Wouldn't even think about it. And I stopped watching the World Cup after that game in 2002. I stopped watching that particular World Cup, the 2002 World Cup. It was crazy. I mean, granted, the World Cup always has its share of, you know, weird calls, and you know, not everything is perfect. But then again, you know, it's a sporting event you can watch. But 0-2, I couldn't actually continue to watch. It was that bad. The officiating was that bad, and for me, it wasn't. Nobody can officiate that bad consistently. For me, it was something more than that. It was fishy. I'm sure it'll not. It's not part of the investigations, but for me, it was a joke.
Well,
but kudos, at least to whoever is doing this investigating, because at least hopefully we can fix the problems at FIFA, and hopefully, you know, even the 2022 World Cup, I don't think Qatar deserves it, especially from the way it seems that they won these bids. I hope the 2022 World Cup winds up in a more normal place.
Not 120 degrees? Is that good?
Yeah. I mean, no offense to Qatar, but, you know, the fact that they're hosting it means they get an automatic entrance into the World Cup. I mean, I know there's a whole scheme of how they're naturalizing, like, South Americans and Europeans into the Qatari national team, but this is a team that, you know, I'm sure barely has a soccer team, let alone can play in a World Cup. So they're going to naturalize kids from now until 2022 so they have a decent team, which is also a joke. I mean, I don't think you should be allowed to do that either, you know? I think, you know, every country should have their own players.
Yeah, and they have slaves
and,
building
and
the stadium.
Yeah, it was crazy. That special we saw on Real Sports was crazy.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you brought up Brazil as being the darlings, what about them hosting the World Cup?
I don't know. And remember, I mean, I can only go by what I read and I saw.
No, but remember even people like Pelé, who's their, like, darling, who's like, we're not in a position as a nation to host
the World Cup. Oh, I thought it was very clear. Yeah, I thought it was very clear that they weren't in a position.
We're in poverty.
They get the World Cup, and they get the Olympics next year.
Right. We're in poverty, and we're hosting World Cup. Like, there's people on the streets here, and you're building stadiums?
Yeah, and Rio de Janeiro is hosting the 2016 Olympics. So, yeah, very weird, very weird.
This one guy here, Jose Hawila, has had to forfeit over $151 million, already paid $25 million back. 71 years old, and he's involved in this scandal as well.
He paid $25 million, and he's got $126 million to go. Good for him.
Yeah.
Only $126 million more to go. To pay
71.
Back. And he's 71 years old. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to get he's going to pay it back, FOH. Come on.
It's FOH.
Yeah, he's going to pay it back.
Screw it at that point, right? Hey, he had a good run. He had a good run ripping everybody off.
Yeah.
Nice run.
Exactly.
That's like casino with the dealer. You had a good night, kicking everybody's dick in all night. Take this stiff and pound it.
Sorry, Joe Pesci talking to the dealer?
Yeah. How the hell can you grin? Because you see the picture in the paper with these people. Half of the time they're laughing. You know, they just got caught.
Because they're like 80. They don't give a shit anymore.
How the hell could you grin? And look at them. Yeah, yes. Yeah, clap your hands, honey. Keep clapping. Give yourself right across the mouth to you.
And for anybody who hasn't seen Casino, folks, lines taken from Casino, PD Podcast, always gives us a couple of quotes from some of our classic movies. So your homework, if you haven't seen Casino, go watch Casino, because you'll understand a couple of more of PD's quotes.
If you haven't seen Casino, hang yourself in front of a casino.
Yeah,
hey, Paulie.
What's up?
When you're back in the studio next week, either the Rangers season will be over or they'll be in the Stanley Cup.
Come on. No negativity here.
I was just saying the two choices.
You know? Yeah, no negativity here. Hopefully we got him. We got him Bishop's mind last night. We got him Bishop's head. They had to pull him. Hopefully. You know, I'm noticing Bishop that if he doesn't let in any goals early, he starts to get really, really difficult to penetrate. But if he lets in a few early goals and we start getting in his head, he lets them all in, you know. So hopefully we can get a quick start in game 7.
I think everybody thought we were done after Sunday night.
I thought we were. I gotta be honest, I didn't like our chances going to Tampa Bay for game 6.
Right.
I really didn't.
Right. No, well, nobody does. I mean, you gotta figure.
We scored 5 goals, 5 goals, and then 0 goals.
Listen.
Yeah.
Dude, and then 7.
I told you these games were gonna go over.
You did.
I told you,
you
right?
You did say that.
Now,
you did say some of everybody out there, you know, and theoretically, if you
everybody
gamble,
wants
you know,
to call me a
Petey
mush.
Was giving out his locks. You want to give out mushes, you want to be call him a mush, but Petey did say the series would be a lot of overs.
Because I was saying, you know, watching the games, they're all one-goal games, the Rangers, and they're low scoring. You said, no, not with this team.
This is high-powered offense. Even though they're great goalies, this is high-powered offense. You're only going to stop them to a certain degree. Now,
of course.
Sunday night, we had a good night, but that game drove us insane.
Dude, you kidding me?
Listen, we went to a place called Game. A friend of ours owned it.
He's a friend of ours. All right,
right?
Go ahead.
On 14th Street, sports bar. Really nice place. Food was awesome.
Meatpacking District, the Chelsea area, you know?
Yeah, nice. Chelsea. 14th and 8th.
7th, actually. Go ahead.
It was by the corner of 8th.
Go for it.
Why don't you shut up? You're in London. I'm running the show now.
Go ahead.
So I'm sitting there, and we're watching a game where, you know, you try to be like, all right, you know, we outplayed them the first period, whatever. The thing is, you know, you have 3 power plays, and you're going into the second on your 4th, and you go 0-for-4. You know it's not a good sign.
Yeah, and hockey's a weird game. Just like
it's a game of momentum.
Football's a weird game. If you get all your chances and you don't score, what happens? You end up getting scored on by the team who's getting no chances because you didn't take advantage and put them out of their misery by taking advantage of the chances you got and scoring the goals. And that's the unfortunate thing that happened to the Rangers on Sunday.
I'm drinking beers. I was like Louis Goodpeoples. Just drink a beer.
Drinking beers. One day we're going to tell people about Louis Goodpeoples.
Yeah,
I know he was.
We'll get into that another time. So I'm just drinking beers. And I had these wings. And they were good, too. They were, like, smoked.
Smoked.
So my fat ass has a bunch of Stella's wings and this burger. This burger was great.
and we're right in front of the big TV. Paulie's yelling, "This is what happens when you don't take advantage of opportunity. This is what happens." And I'm yelling. My girl's like, "Babe, relax. I got like blue cheese and hot sauce all over my face." And I'm like, "Don't score already, Nash. Do something with yourself." We're like a bunch of morons.
Didn't it look like they were just blocking all our shots Sunday? Like,
they were. They were blocking crazy. Everything.
Were
there's people behind
the
us that
the
are probably
won't
like,
even get the bishop.
We couldn't get anything through.
So bad.
They looked like they would be. They looked like us when we were coached by Tortorella.
I thought we were playing the Capitals again. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
They looked like us when we were coached by Tortorella. Everything was block shots, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy behind us was saying that, too, because I said they were blocking a lot of shots. He goes, "Yeah, they look like us when we were being coached by Torts."
Torts.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we were screaming at the TV. I got all sorts of food on my face. I'm Stella. It was like we had a good night, but that game just really put a dagger on us. Because, you know, when do the Rangers decide to put some pressure on the team and put them against the wall, their backs against the wall? We always got to be the one, "Oh, if we lose, we're out," you know? That's the perfect scenario to say, "Hey, we go to Tampa. Even if we lose, we come back home. We have two chances to eliminate them." No. What do? We lose at home. And we should, what was it, 2-0? I mean, come on.
Well, that 94, you're up 3-1, right? And then you go to 7. Come on.
Yeah. No, 94 against the Devils, we were actually down 3-2. Same
but
no,
in the finals, you're up 3-1,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, in the finals, you're up 3-1, finals, yeah.
Now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave.
Yeah.
Spoke like a gentleman. Give him his beer.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love that scene.
Hey, we're just trying to have a beer, man, like our money ain't green.
Well, that didn't turn out too good. Hopefully for the Rangers in Game 7, it turns out better than it did for
the
guys.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They threw the beer all over the Frankie toupee.
And if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, that's from the movie A Bronx Tale.
Boom.
Another classic New York movie. Guys, if you ever watched any of these classic New York movies, you're only getting half the podcast, because a lot of our quotes are from these classic New York movies. So in order to listen to our podcast and get the maximum benefit out of it, you got to watch all our classic New York movies.
That's the fact.
And all classic mob movies in general, because actually Casino's not even a classic New York movie, because they were actually the Chicago mob in Vegas. But whatever, just all our classic movies. You got to watch them. Goodfellas, Casino, Godfather.
You know what somebody asked us to do?
My Cousin Vinny.
You know what somebody asked?
Bronx Tale.
Somebody
list goes on.
Twitter.
Donnie Brasco.
Somebody asked on Twitter for us to do the Billy Bats and Tommy.
Oh, you're a little bit out of line yourself?
Yeah. <dude. laughs>
When Jimmy Conway tells him, what does Billy Bats say about Tommy? He tells him, "Come on, Jimmy, what did he say? Come on, Jimmy, you knew something like that. He was disrespecting me." He takes everything so serious. Something, I forgot the exact line.
He says, you are my life. You're getting too big on me. Yeah, just don't go busting balls, Billy. He says, right away, we're kidding. Now, all of a sudden,
he's
getting like a wise guy. I'm kidding with you. He goes, how am I supposed to know? There's a lot of people around. I don't know. We used to call him Spitshine Tommy. No, I'm serious. He was a kid. You make your shoes look like fucking mirrors. No, it's the truth.
Keep me here, Henry. Yeah. Keep me here.
He goes, yeah. Salute. Yeah. Go get your shine box.
Yeah.
Mutt. You mutt. Keep him here. Keep you fake old tough guy. He bought his button. He bought it. Keep him here. Hey, you know.
And then he leaves. No, but then he leaves. And then
Henry,
Bats is having drinks with Jimmy. Jimmy's getting him drunk.
Yeah. And no, I did my time. He goes, no, I did my time, and I want what I got to get. Yeah, sure. Yeah, he's going, sure.
No, and then he goes.
And then he comes in. And
but then first that he says he's disrespecting me or something, and then he goes, no.
You got a little out on yourself.
A little out on yourself.
Let's have a drink. Wait, let's have a drink. No, you don't have to drink with me.
Drinks?
No, drinks are on the house.
On the house.
And he goes, no, I did my time, and I want what I got to get. And Jimmy goes, yeah, sure. He's waiting. I didn't mean to get blood on your floor.
Kind of looks like our friend, right? The painting? Looks like someone we know.
Looks like someone we know. Me, go out the beard. No, it's him. It reminds me, Ma, I got to borrow this knife. Yeah, sure. Just bring it back, you know.
Oh, horrible.
Oh, on that note.
on that note. So we covered the Rangers, we covered FIFA, we covered the Gale, Darrell fight. I'm excited about this card Saturday, too. I mean, once you guys find out what channel you guys got
it
on.
Tweet it out, buddy. Tweet it out.
We'll let you know. But, you know, we got PBC on Spike, a card which I was supposed to be on. I mean, you know what? I'm actually glad I'm out of town, you know, because if I would have attended that Amir Khan Algeria fight, I would have kind of got a little bit sad, you know, knowing that I should have been inside that ring on that night instead of be sitting outside and just watching all the fights, you know. So, I'm kind of glad I got the offer from Sky to come work the Brooke Gavin fight in London. And that way I'm kind of, you know, changing the scenery a little bit, not having to think about it so much. You know, I mean, I'm going to watch the Khan card here in the UK.
And thanks to you, I'll be there ringside.
Boom.
Ding, ding.
That's a fact.
And that's a good card in itself, too.
Yeah, that's a good card in itself. And I'll watch it on TV here. They'll show it on in the UK on Box Nation. So I'll check it out. And, you know, I mean, I'll still watch knowing and figuring that, you know what, I should have been inside that ring. But at least when I'm on the other side of the world, you know, it's a bit more distracting. It's a bit cooler, you know. So
you enjoying yourself over there?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. You know, it's been pretty cool. The weather's actually been good. So far, I've had two sunny days. I mean, I don't want to jinx it. But you know, the sun does not come out in the UK. But, bro, both days I've been here, it's been a sunny day, beautiful. I mean, London traffic, it rivals New York traffic. I don't think anything beats L.A. traffic, but London traffic's pretty bad, man. And, you know, we've been in some traffic jams here as well, but obviously it's been really nice. It's been really,
hey,
people always,
fought
the
in
people
Manchester
always great.
In 2008, we had 5 days in a row with no rain. They were, like, praising us over there in the hotel, remember?
Yeah, I think it's just us, bro. We just know how to – we just bring sunshine everywhere we go. We just have that positive vibe.
Like that's sunshine on a cloudy day.
That's it.
Speaking of positive vibes, you know who's not bringing positive vibes to my Twitter lately? Is Shane Mosley.
Oh, my God. I wanted
this
to get that. I saw that. What's going on with this guy?
This guy acts like nothing when he sees me, like it's normal. And then on Twitter, he's like a gangster. I don't know if it's maybe his son running a Twitter or his girlfriend or his monkey. You know, he's got that pet monkey, too.
You think he has, like, a little retarded guy?
I don't know, bro. It's the weirdest thing. Like, at first, I thought, like, nah, that's not Shane. I mean, I just saw Shane. Because, you know, I remember he started, like, a few days after the Mayweather card. I was back in New York, and I had just been all week with him working on my Fox Sports 1, and he was totally normal. So at first, I was like, nah, it's not really Shane. And then I'm like, you know, you got people, like, instigating as well. You know, Shane's talking, but, you know, you got other people, like, jumping on the bandwagon. Like, oh, Paul, you're going to take that. And I'm like, come on, it's not Shane. And then Shane, there's, like, more answers from Shane, huh? It got to the point where I had enough. Especially today, I had enough. I don't know. My balls were twisted today. I read my Twitter, and I'm like, all right, this guy's, I had enough. So I started abusing him back. He started abusing back. And so we had a little bit of a back-and-forth banter here and there.
Well, I retweeted the one where you said, you know, you're tired of the BS, because it's like the same thing. You're right. It was very accurate what you said. It's like the same thing with Zab. Everybody was like, oh, Zab will kill Paulie. Zab will knock Paulie out. Zab's
now
a way better fighter.
Now looking back on the Zab win, anytime people want to talk about the Zab win, it's, oh, yeah, you beat a shot.
Oh, that,
Zab,
yeah,
done,
Zab,
Zab,
that's
yeah.
not
before,
Zab.
Afterwards, everybody's a Monday morning quarterback. So the Shane Mosley fight the same thing. I mean, Shane's 105 years old.
Well, listen.
Right now, everybody's picking him because they're looking at my last fight and they're saying, nah, Paulie's done. That's just the way it is. With boxing, it's what have you done for me lately. But if I son Shane the same way I beat Zeb, then what happens? You beat 105-year-old Shane. What does that do? What does that count? Yeah, okay.
People look at you and say...
The whole fight wouldn't have happened if you weren't talking about it to begin with, though. You know, people get mad when they get their time wasted. It's like the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. You're trying to tell people that it's going to be a stupid fight and it's going to be a one-sided, dumb fight where it's going to waste your time. They don't want to listen. They get mad at you. Then when it happens, they get mad just because the fight wasn't good.
Because you were right.
Well, me versus Shane Mosley is the same thing. The guy's 150 years old, bro. Where you gonna go?
He was 175 years old when they fought.
No, seriously.
I don't know how old he was.
Then I beat him, and they're like, "Well, they're gonna say, oh, I'm gonna beat him." And they're like, "Oh, you know what? You wouldn't have touched Shane in his prime.
You can't win.
I'm not gonna even doubt that. Maybe not. But you know what? You want your time wasted now with this fight? Really?
No thanks.
And everybody says Shane beats me. I say by 80% of the tweets. So you know what? The fight could be made. I'm not even against making it. Honestly, I'm not against it. Honestly, because you know, there's more than enough people saying Shane wins the fight.
So on paper,
everybody gets excited enough about it.
Right.
But then once I beat him, don't give me the one I beat Zab treatment. Zab had just gone, you know, giving Danny Garcia all he could handle, so he was going to beat me. And then it was a one-sided fight. Don't give me that treatment then. Well, Zab was shot. Don't give me the Shane Mosley was shot. I don't want to hear it after. That's the thing.
No, you know, my problem is that, you know, people are ignorant. You know, people say, you're past your prime. So if Shane's prime was a race, he overlapped it. You know what I mean? How old is he now? 60?
He lapped his prime already. That's how far past
he shouldn't get a license, actually.
Yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to get...
He's not speaking clearly.
He doesn't... You said, like, does he have some little retarded guy running his Twitter? No, it's actually him. He's like... He has the little slow version of himself that's punchy, and then he has normal Shane. When he sees you, he's like, hey, Paulie. And then he has, like, I'm gonna go on Twitter and talk some trash. Shane, you know you should go on Twitter and talk some trash. Oh, okay.
But he used to speak very well, and he doesn't speak that well anymore.
He never spoke that well.
No, he spoke better.
He spoke a lot better. Yeah, he spoke better. He was always a little slow, but
not like he is now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he always had a problem articulating his words. I mean, he had 300 amateur fights, and he was a great fighter. He was just
right.
Never,
he was the golden boy for a minute. He was the undefeated golden boy. He was the welterweight guy.
He
De La Hoya.
He was a legend. Yeah. Listen, I grew up watching him. Why he wants to fight my best friend is mind-boggling. Literally, we grew up watching you, bro. That shows how old you are.
Grew up, literally, we're kids, right?
We grew up watching you, man. You're old. Do
a little bit.
Sta viejo.
A little bit.
Stop bien.
What
point was that from?
Yo, you know what else I wanted to say? I'm a little sick, a little under the weather. I'm also sick of Shane. But another thing I'm sick of, they always criticizing Al Heyman's guys for getting these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, PBC's been very, very,
PBC's
very honest.
PBC's been very fair.
That's been great.
Andy Lee comes to America from Ireland, gets a draw against an Al Heyman fighter who's from Brooklyn, in Brooklyn, gets a
Which
draw.
Which I thought Quillen actually edged that fight. I thought PD won that fight.
Right, a lot of people thought PD won that fight, but it was a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Last Saturday, James DeGale comes from the UK to fight an American fighter.
An Al Heyman fighter. And gets a razor-thin decision.
And gets the win. A unanimous decision.
Razor thin decision. I could have won to the rub, but it went to the Gill. Yep.
One guy had it 117.
Yeah, 100%. No, everybody complains about Al when it's convenient for them to complain, but when it's time to give praise, and this is a reason to give praise, that everybody gets a fair shot here on PBC. You know, and people are going to say, oh, no, we'll pull you guys screw with Broner. I thought I won the Broner fight, but maybe I was a martyr. Maybe my complaints made things more honest for the future, which was PBC. You know, so far PBC's had pretty honest fights. I mean, did I think Juan Peterson had Danny Garcia? Yeah, I thought he did. But it was a close fight.
But they're both Al Heyman fighters.
And they're both Al Heyman fighters anyway, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's actually relevant.
I don't think it's Al. I think it's they're trying, you know.
Yeah, it's whatever. But I think, that needs to be spoken about and said. You know, PBC has been great for network television. It's been bringing you some good fights. And the decisions are better than a lot of decisions in boxing.
True.
More honest, more fair. They've been fair so far. Does that mean every decision is going to be fair? No, I mean, you can't control that. I don't know. But so far, they've been really, really fair. They've actually been very generous to the non-Heyman fighters as well. So props and kudos to PBC. All the Al Heyman haters, hey, listen, guys. I mean, he treats all his fighters fairly. He treats all his fighters better than fairly. He pays everybody well. He's honest with his fighter. He's the most honest guy that I've ever seen in boxing. Not that there are other honest people, but Al's not only honest, but he has the power to actually compensate you very well and take care of all his fighters really well. And so,
just don't try to call him on the phone.
Even the fights are being judged honestly, you know?
Hey, Paulie.
What's up?
Got some news. Next week, from Brooklyn to the world, we got Deontay Wilder on the
Woo!
Show.
Now, getting ready for his fight in Alabama. Alabama Slammer. Yep.
Alabama Slammer.
Nice.
That sounds like a porno.
He's
gonna put it in the next guy's slammer.
Oh, jeez. On that note,
especially with his size, that's scary. Jesus.
Yeah.
You guys ready to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Should wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Deontay should wrap it up.
I'm on
this. Lube it up.
You could ask him about that next week, buddy.
I will.
You sick bastard.
Cool. I'm here eating jelly beans in London, in my London hotel room.
How are the girls over there? You got anything brewing over there?
Yeah. I actually got one or two brewing.
That's good.
I actually picked up a half Slovakian, half Hungarian waitress today.
Oh, nice.
From the Italian restaurant. She's working in the Italian restaurant.
You're like a beetle over there.
Very cute.
I felt like a beetle one time until I tried to go for a layup and I got swatted.
What do you mean? How you compare me to a beetle, bro?
I'm saying you're like a rock star out there.
I thought you meant like a beetle, like the insect.
No, I'm like a beetle, the insect.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't even get my own jokes. We got a problem.
No, the Beatles are from Liverpool. I'm in London. That's why I didn't get the joke.
Close enough.
Close enough, yeah. Close enough.
You'll get it one day.
Yeah, sure.
Don't worry, Shane. He's on the same IQ as you. You guys could argue back and forth on Twitter. Till next week.
Enjoy yourself,
champ. Enjoy yourself.
All right.
Text me
later. London. Checking out from London. I'll see you guys later.
All right, Paul.
Boom.
Bye.